Hello and welcome to Spark Your Fire podcast with Jess and David. The term FIRE here stands for financial independence, retire early. It boils down to the desire to live more frugally and make your money work harder for you in order to be able to retire from the full-time workforce as soon as possible. Are you ready to spark your fire? Well, here's your host, Jazz and David. Jazz, how are you doing today?
David, I'm really good, mate. Really excited about this one. This is our very first episode.
Yeah, totally. I'm pumped, basically. And, you know, I think, what are we doing to talk about today? What are we going to give our listeners?
So for our listeners, it's important to understand why we decided to do this podcast. And the pure reason being that David and I share a very similar background in terms of property investing and being in the finance space, helping clients with home lending and investment lending. So since we have been doing this for the last few years, we decided that if we could somehow pass on the knowledge to the new generation and people who want to be financially independent, that was the sole reason of starting this podcast.
Yeah, look, I think that's a really good summary in terms of what we're trying to share and what we're intending for the listener to take away with. You know, certainly a lot of our personal experiences and what we're seeing with our clients, which we're hoping that we would be able to share what we've learned out of different scenarios and be able to help people investing early without having to sacrifice their lifestyle.
Exactly. And we have been investing for quite a few years in the property space, and we are mortgage brokers or finance specialists, whatever you guys want to call us. And over the last few years with our businesses, we have been helping clients with building the property portfolio with the sole reason of being able to build wealth over time and retire early or be financially independent. So we're going to start sharing some of the secrets. And the first episode that we thought we will discuss is how to start investing early without sacrificing your life. David, what are your thoughts on this one, man?
Look, I think it really comes down to understanding what your lifestyle is. And, you know, like I think for me personally, the most important part is to be able to do certain budgeting, be able to work out and be able to track what your monthly spend is, especially in the current climate. You know, where lenders, for example, are cracking down on living expenses, I think it's absolutely crucial for all of us to be able to understand how much we are incurring as a basic living expense and also as a discretionary expenses. To that extent, you know, I certainly remember like back in the early days when I started my investing, I did some really high level calculations in terms of when I'm about to jump into my first one. The rent, you know, at that time is probably going to be like $450, and I'm going to be taking out a mortgage of about $288,000 at 6% interest rate. You know, how is that going to impact my lifestyle? So once I have a high level understanding of how that fit into and how that potentially will impact my monthly income. In other words, you know, what the portion of that repayment is going to eat into my salary, then, you know, I can then make an actual assessment to say, okay, well, is that really going to impact my life? Or, you know, am I still be able to maintain my current lifestyle as is? So that was probably for me, you know, just be able to have that assurance and work it out beforehand. And it's very easy to do that nowadays. We've got lots of tools to be able to help any of you guys to be able to do that, is to understand what your financial position is and what your financial position will be. What do you reckon, Jazz?
Yeah, spot on, mate. Actually, like David said before, the first thing he did was he sat down and he actually budgeted that this is how much my rent is, this is how much my expenses are, and roughly what I can save. Now, it's just about having two jars, which is one is the expense jar and the other one is the savings jar, where you can actually save some money, which you can down the line utilize to either start your own business or invest in property to build wealth or invest in share market, different asset classes, basically. So it's important to understand what you earn, what you spend, and before that, how much you want to save every year or every month, so you can actually get kickstarted on that. And that can be done in a various ways. Especially when the young generation is starting, credit cards, personal loans are all very easy thing these days. We all know that, David, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. And look, you know, like it's so easy for to go into a bank and they try to upsell you with a huge credit limit credit card, you know, like in the areas of like a, you know, $10,000 to $15,000. But what most people don't realize is you don't actually need that that much of a credit limit, to be honest.
And then banks are doing that intentionally because banks are obviously earning a decent hefty interest rate on it. It might be 11%, might be 21%, depending on bank to bank. But and once you have got the credit card, they'll normally send you an email or a message or SMS, whatever it is, to increase the limits because they want you to spend that money and be in debt.
Correct.
And it's about controlling those credit cards and personal loans, all these things that are not absolutely required at a very young age, to be able to build your wealth over the journey, basically.
Yeah, no, 100%. And that's why, like when I was in my early days, I actually don't have credit cards. I personally don't like them. I mean, nowadays, it's in a sense, it's too convenient because, you don't have the old fashioned of having to go through checks, which shows a bit of our age.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you can even make payments through phone, everything is so convenient.
Yeah.
And look, like having the credit card there or having personal loan, is something that, I wouldn't even thought about it when I was investing, because, I've got my FPOS card, which pretty much does the same thing as a credit card if I really want to. And look, personal loans, depending on what you're trying to get yourself into, and this is where it's important to understand what is a good debt and a bad debt. I guess the question really to ask yourself is, why would I want a personal loan myself?
Good point that you made, good debt versus bad debt, right? Do you want to quickly, at a very high level, we'll go into more details in one of the future episodes, but just quickly for our listeners, what is a good debt and what is a bad debt?
Look, I think in my opinion, a good debt is something that you borrow money and it's going to generate an income or revenue for you, or it will basically appreciate. For example, if you actually borrow money to buy an actual asset that's going to give you a return, appreciating over time, that to me is a good debt. Whereas a bad debt is something that you buy, like a car, for example, and will depreciate, in other words, losing value over time. That, to me, is a bad debt. So the simplest way or the simplest form that I can see is, when you're buying this asset, is it going to generate money for you or is it going to lose money for you over time?
Yeah.
What about you, Jazz? Is that a fair assumption?
So this is very important for the young generation to know that definition of the good and the bad debt, especially these days where the finance is pretty easy to get in terms of credit cards, personal loans, and things like Afterpay these days, where you can actually go to a retail center and buy a pen on a monthly repayment, which is silly. So it's really important for our listeners to understand, especially the young generation, so they don't get caught up in this bad debt situation, which is using credit cards to buy cars, flashy things, etc., or even their own savings to buy those things. There's nothing wrong with buying those things. I mean, we drive nice cars and everything, but as long as you can balance your situation.
Yeah, no, the 100%. So yeah, look, like we all have our lifestyle and each one differs from each other, but I guess my personal recommendation is minimize your personal or your bad debt as such, and try to maximize your good debt, because that's what's going to appreciate, that's what's going to build long-term wealth for you. And that's why that kind of ties back into why we want to talk about starting investing early.
Exactly.
In that sense,
spot on that. And this is the whole reason of that: you start a little bit early, control the amount of bad debt that you have, and more invest into the good debt, so you can see many cycles. And we are a little bit biased in terms of more that we invest more in property, but there are various asset classes. Now, for our listeners, young generation who's just starting out, David, what are different asset classes? Maybe you want to give them quick examples so they understand what we mean by asset classes, maybe as well.
Sure. Yeah. Look. So asset classes. To me, you've got investment. So basically, they're like investment assets, things such as shares, managed funds, savings, just cash savings, properties, and what they call as ETF and LICs. So there's various forms of these assets, and primarily, if you step back a little, then what it does is it's money. It's using money to make money. So you're investing money in order to generate a certain revenue out of it. And that basically would be classified as an asset.
Making money by investing money.
Correct.
That's probably the best definition for it. Just taking, David, hypothetically, an example of, I must assume that I'm young anyways, but I'm just going back in time a little bit. Let's say I've just started my work career and I am in my early 20s, 22, right?
Yep.
What are some of the tips that you can give me as a finance broker or a specialist that will help me get on the right path to build wealth and retire early or live a lifestyle that I want to live, which is maybe spending time with kids in the future or whatever.
Yeah, look, and I'll share my kind of like my personal experience. If I was back in my 22 years old age, you know, like certainly one of the very important philosophy is that, you know, my parents wanted me to invest early. In other words, you know, getting into property, getting into shares and learn about them. So it's very important to actually educate yourself to that extent to understand, you know, what is, as what we said, what is going to be the asset classes that you should be looking at. We're not saying property is the only way, you know, shares again, and managed funds, you can make money and build wealth early in your early days. But first of all is educate yourself and understand what you want to get into. And definitely don't start with big lump sum of money. So, you know, start small. If you say, for example, looking at shares, then maybe start with a couple thousand dollars up front. And then because at the end of the day, you know, most likely you will make mistakes and you're going to lose that money. For properties, it's probably a bit more difficult because property transactions are fairly large. But my suggestion here is, you know, there's some really good resources online forums such as Property Chat, you know, that kind of things that you can read up. There are seminars that you can actually attend to educate yourself. And there's certainly, you know, investment savvy team members, you know, such as finance brokers, buyer's agents, accountants that can actually help you in terms of guiding you to look at what type of asset classes that's more suitable for you. And you can understand what type of property and what sort of budget that you need in order to buy a property and have a goal of understanding how much you need to save up.
So again, David is obviously a professional. He's raised another good point really over here is that surround yourself with the right people. We get excited, obviously, at that age because we want to grow fast and all that stuff.
100%.
But if you surround yourself with the right team in the property world, because we, again, biased in the property world, that could be is your investment-savvy mortgage broker. It could be buyer's agent. It could be a investment-savvy tax accountant. These kind of people, real estate agents, is important to have that. So you can actually start with the right mindset and build your knowledge at the very beginning rather than dumping money at the very start without knowing much of what you're doing and then losing that money, especially in the property, which is a little bit tricky because obviously at the lower end, you're still spending $300 to $350K. So it's really important to be careful in that space, I guess.
That's right. And you know, also as what Jazz mentioned, you know, I think it's really important to surround yourself with people who's got credibility and who's done it before, because they're just going to help you and it's going to guide you on the right track. Instead, you know, when I like to share a little bit of my own journey, because when I started my own first one, I haven't got anyone to guide me. So, you know, I jump into off the plan myself. And, you know, I realize now looking back, if I had someone that actually was able to guide me, then I may not have jumped into off the plan at that point in time. So, you know, it would have been very different. Having said that, you know, yes, I made a mistake in terms of buying an overpriced off the plan earlier in my journey. But because we started early, and this is the beauty about property, is that, you know, property tends to basically...
It's a forgiving asset class to some extent.
It's a very forgiving asset class. So, yes, even though, you know, I overpaid in the beginning, but over time, you know, like now, I bought it back in 2009 for a high price, but thanks to the latest Sydney boom, you know, certainly it has basically made me money as well. So that's why, you know, we recommend that, for example, such as an asset class like a property, you definitely want to jump in as early as you can to utilize the property cycle. And it is just a matter of actually how long you've been in the game to be able to create that wealth.
Yeah.
I don't know about your personal experience, Jazz. What were the early mistakes that you made during your investment? Maybe you could share a couple with our audience.
I'll tell you actually a good one that a mistake that I made. The very first one that I actually bought, I was completely uneducated in that space. And at the time, we were not that lucky, David, if you remember, because there was no such thing as podcast. Information was very hard to find. There was no things such as Property Chat and all that stuff that you mentioned. So the only thing you could probably find was some magazines with limited information and maybe a show, a TV show or something for which you had to pay membership anyways. So the information was very limited. Hence, the very first property that I bought was actually a block of land. This is back probably 10 years, and the interest rate at the time was roughly about 8-9%.
Yep.
Now, this is important for our listeners, and we will discuss this in a lot more details down the line. The mistake that I made was after a year, when I bought the land, the prices were starting to shoot up, like the recent cycle that we have seen where the property prices have gone up. And I actually ended up, because I saw the gain within the first year that it's appreciated by 20-30K, I think it was roughly about 30K, the block of land, I actually ended up selling it for 30K profit and then paying agent's fee. And here's the mistake, David, that I made. One, I sold it, right? Secondly, I shouldn't have bought the block of land in the first place.
How much would it be today if you haven't sold that?
Third, yeah, you're spot on. And thirdly, the mistake that I made was it was actually fixed at the time. The interest rate, I mean, was fixed.
Oh, yeah.
And back then, the rates were about 8 or 7%, somewhere close to that. And after the first year, the rates dropped a little bit. I think the rate went down to 6% or somewhere close to that. I don't exactly remember the figures now, but I remember paying 15K exit fee to the bank.
Oh, ouch.
That is ouch. So the important point, the reason we are sharing this story, guys, is purely that we want our listeners to be educated. Obviously, don't make these kind of mistakes. 15K is a hefty amount back 10 years. Even today, it's a decent amount. 10 years ago, it was pretty much a deposit, half the deposit for a block of land that you could buy in the outer suburbs. So it's important not to make these mistakes. And the only way you can avoid, obviously, these mistakes is by listening to podcasts, educating yourself, having the team. And that's what we are trying to do over here, pass the right knowledge, as I said before. So does that mean, David, if I'm trying to start early in 20s or something, that I have to really cut down on my travel and all? I have to live on beans. I can't live any life at all if I want to start investing early, or can it be a balanced thing that you can still achieve?
Look, I think it really comes down to a balance. As you mentioned before, it's a jar. You know, it's a jar, two jars, right? One is the savings, and one is the experiences. Especially in our early days, you know, I'm sure that we all want to taste and we all want to try out different things. and there's nothing wrong with that. Definitely, you know, enjoy your travel, enjoy whatever that your lifestyle brings you and what's going to make you happy. But this is where the budgeting comes into play and is important. Let's say, for example, you're earning $3,000, a month, and how much of that percentage is actually going out towards your basic needs? Let's say, you know, maybe 50% of that goes out to the basic needs, just food and groceries and all that stuff. And then you might have another 25% that you use for discretionary, you know, like go out to drinks or parties and all that stuff. And can you save that rest of the 25%? So, you know, like do a detailed budgeting, do a detailed analysis of what your current lifestyle is like, work out each individual, say, okay, well, here's my recurring expenses. Can I cut this down? Or do I want to continue to enjoy it? And, you know, like at the end of the day, if you can actually cut some of the unnecessary ones down, that might mean that you can actually save up that deposit quicker. But and while you still have your life, just not as much, you know, maybe it just means you don't go out every night. You go out two nights in a week instead.
It does. So, yeah, exactly. Yep. It's basically, it's that. And I think David's already used the word, it's balancing the act, right? So you need to, it's building the wealth while you're young so you can enjoy your life down the line. But at the same time, balance the act by spending some. So it's about budgeting, having multiple jars or two jars in place where you can actually put the money in those jars and say, this is all I'm going to spend. And if I've spent that money on the weekend, I'm not going to spend money for the rest of the month because that's the only money I had in the jar. And it's avoiding those credit cards and personal loans for travel. We see so many people, David, in the early 20s who actually are flying to Europe or US and just swiping credit cards.
Correct,
and
then, yes.
Because the interest rates are obviously damn high on the credit cards, and they're just in debt after that, when paying that debt down for the next 5-7 years. No,
that's right. Yeah, really, yeah. And look, and that's why personally, I think, especially in a young age, I don't really recommend credit cards, because what happens is just so easy for you to tap on everything and you lose track so easily. And you know, in a sense, you call me old school, but you know, that's why I'd rather use FPOS, because if I use FPOS, then at least I know it's basically deducting it. Whereas credit card is, you know, you basically pay now and then you enjoy it now and then you kind of pay later. A bit like Afterpay concept to a degree.
So living in reality is the point. So this is the money I have and that's the money I can spend.
That's right. You know, and this is where the old days, without all these credit facilities, you actually had to take cash out. That's when, you know, every time when you take $200 cash out, you go, oh, okay, well, I need to be careful about how much I spend today because I only got $200. Whereas credit cards completely different. You don't get to see that. And every time when you tap on it, you don't feel that, oh, I'm actually spending money. You just feel like, okay, well, here's another tap. And before you realize, you're already racking up lots of debt. And that's where the danger lies.
Yeah. And there's a lot of more stuff that we really want to discuss. And to some extent, we will share our journeys. We want to guide more and more our listeners down the line on how to get started early, how to build wealth, what sort of steps to take, what sort of team to have. We're planning to go in a lot more detail, but this being our first episode, we're trying to keep it at very high level and touching on various different subjects. So it gives you a rough idea of what you guys are expecting down the line. And hopefully this will help you set up on the right path to some extent.
100%. Jazz, that's the whole reason why we're starting this, is to be able to educate more and more Australians in terms of their financial awareness. I think it's an incredibly important concept. I wish I learned this, when I started investing. So hopefully this is what we could make a difference today.
Another good point, David, you make is that that you wish you knew more of this at an early age. And every single person that I met who's in their 30s or something, they always come and say the same thing. Wish we knew about this stuff a bit earlier. So hence, we're starting this so people sort of come to know what to do, when to do, kind of thing, and how to do. David, anything else you want to cover?
I think we covered a lot of concept today already, and certainly there will be a lot more content where we'll drill into more specifics in the upcoming episodes. But I think that's enough for consumption today. we don't want to throw out too much information that causes people to overload themselves too. So
definitely, and we're going to try and do one episode at least a week. And if required, if there's any special news or something special to share, then we'll probably do a quick session, maybe whenever required. But otherwise, expect one episode a week. Subscribe to iTunes and Podbean if you're using Android. And you should be able to download it for free, all the episodes, and listen on the way to work or whatever. We're going to try and keep it short and sweet, between 15 to 20 minutes, so you guys enjoy it. Thanks, everyone, for turning on the show today. And if you guys like it, please give it a 5-star rating. If you guys have any questions or any particular topic in the space of finance and property or other asset classes that you would like to discuss, drop us an email. If we have got knowledge or if we have got the right context, we'll try and bring them in and answer your questions. And we really look forward to seeing you next time. Jazz and David.
If you have any questions or feedback about today's episode, you can reach out to us through sparkyourfirepodcast@gmail.com. That's sparkyourfirepodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Also, the content discussed in this episode is general in nature. Please seek specific advice from qualified professionals in regards to your personal situation.